Well, it's good to see you here tonight. If you're here new, I want to extend a warm welcome to you. I'll tell you a little bit about who I am, in case you're wondering, gee, who is this guy? New Life is a student outreach ministry of Evergreen Community Church. And I'm one of the pastors at Evergreen Community Church. And I'm 22 years old. You know, I look that young. I know that, but actually, no, I'm 24. I'm married. I have four children, one for each year since I was 20. Now, actually, I'm 33. Okay, I'm 30. That's the truth. I'm 33. Pink is one of my favorite colors. For the rest of you men here with guts, and. Gee, this thing is really, I feel like I got a tail on. And I do have four children. I have a daughter 9 and a son 8 and a daughter 5 and a son 6.5 months. So I've had a lot of life experiences, and I really enjoy working with college students. So that's why I'm here on the university with you. And it's good to see you tonight. All of you come back next week. We'll be here every Tuesday night, Lord willing, as long as we can fit in this facility, but hopefully it won't be long and we'll be looking for a new facility. I'm going to start a series tonight on rich relationships. I think that probably something that affects our life as much or more than anything else is people. If you're going to be successful in college, and if you're going to be successful in your career, if you're going to be successful in your marriage and with your family, if you're going to be successful in life, you have to have the ability to build lasting and enduring relationships. The reason I picked this out was not only because it's so important in our life, but because I see it as probably one of the greatest deficiencies in our society today. I'm sure. Let me just ask this question, all right? And I'll put my hand up too. How many of you come from a broken home? Raise your hand. You know, where both parents are divorced or got divorced after you left. Raise your hand real, real high. Real high. Okay, how many don't? Well, we have an unusual crowd here tonight. Second question. How many of you would want to have the marriage your parents had? Well, that's wonderful. I wish it on you. You're, again, above average. How many of you felt you had a tremendous relationship with your father or mother growing up? I mean, tremendous. That's good. That's more like the norm. Okay? What I find today happening, of course, most of us now are in this room are 20 and above. But what we see happening today in society is a real inability to care in relationships. If you look at marriages, for an example, guy-girl relationships, there's a real tension between men and women in society, and there's a real tension in marriage. And most people are unable, and even those that stay married, are unable to continue a viable, growing, dynamic, personal relationship with the person they married. And then, extend it out, very few are able to continue a dynamic, growing, encouraging relationship with those that they parent, with their children. If you look at I just finished a couple months ago Lee Iacocca's autobiography. He mentions in his autobiography this. He says, the number one thing I look for in young executives are people skills. He says, I don't care what a man knows. If he can't get along with people, he's out of my corporation. And you know, we see this all the time. Those of you that have a job, that are working in your career, or those that have a part-time job, if you go watch how people interact with one another, it stinks. And then if you watch how they interact when the person they don't like leaves, and all this goes on. He's such a jerk. You know, all the backstabbing, all the gossiping that goes on, slander is the national pastime in America. It's happening in the Vikings. I predict the Vikings will die this season. They will be nothing this year. Nothing. And I like them. But they're fools. They're really fools. To go into the kind of things they're bringing up, to throw out that kind of stuff, they're just devouring their own self. And what you have in the Vikings is a people problem. An inability for people to build relationships. We see it in roommate situations, don't we? You know, we even see it among Christians. We even see it among those who say they know Christ. We see shallow relationships with other people in the Lord. And oftentimes, I find that in my interacting with people, it's hard to even distinguish if a person knows the Lord or not. When it comes to the way they interact with other people, when it comes to their commitment to people, when it comes to their loyalty, when it comes to how trustworthy they are. So, many of us, if not most of us, have had more negative relationships in our life than we have had healthy, vibrant, committed relationships with people. When it comes to people, by and large, most people have had negative relationships, negative experiences, rather than positive experiences. The other thing I find happen is that most of us are oblivious to the things that keep us from having quality relationships. We think we know how to be a good friend. We think we are a good friend. But oftentimes, it's the very things we do, very things we say, that keep us from gaining deep, lasting relationships. You ask yourself, how many really deep relationships do you have? See if you can write them down on a piece of paper. How many really lasting relationships have you been able to build in the last year, in the last year and a half? How many do you have? How many people do you have in your life that you know would give up anything for you? They'd bail you out. They'd show up late at night and sacrifice for you. Of course, if you've been in New Life for a little while, you realize that some of the neatest people in the world are in New Life. So you have an advantage over the normal individual. You know, just to let you know how abnormal people who come to New Life are, I'm going to tell you a little story. By abnormal, I mean extraordinary. Out of the ordinary. We sponsored a concert, a Christian concert, about 3 weeks ago. And we got a call from the agent, the booking agent, after this concert. And this booking agent handles a lot of the Christian artists like Amy Grant and Mylon Lefevre and on and on. And the particular artist's name is Bobby Michaels, and he really enjoyed the time, thought it was probably the best concert he's ever had. And the agent said that Bobby wanted them to call us and wanted to know if he could do another one next year and didn't want to do anywhere else in Minneapolis first until we had a shot. And you know what they told us? They said, you know, the average free will offering at every concert, the average, no matter who's doing it, is 67 cents a person. He said, you know what? So when we came and we saw the crowd you guys had that night, we figured, you know, we wouldn't even get enough for the booking fee, which was $300. And he said, but you know, the average giving per person at your church was $4 a person. That's 6.5 times the average. 6.5 times. Some of you have gotten a little used, you know, to being around people who are really committed to New Testament principles, who are committed to loaning you their car, who would come and pick you up at the airport at 1 in the morning and think nothing of it, who will let you wear their clothes, who will let you use their toothpaste, who will let you use their razor and dull it and ruin it. You know, we become used to that. But even some of us, we grow a little weary, don't we, of doing good sometimes. And so I thought it would be really appropriate to do a series on relationships, because relationships affect the rest of our life. They affect your life now. And if you cannot get along with people, and not just get along, you know, some people, here's another thing that I find in people. Some people are very friendly initially. They warm up to people well, but that's as far as you ever go. You can't ever really get deep with them. You can't ever really get a committed relationship out of them. They're real friendly, real outgoing, real nice. But that's as far as it goes. And God wants us to build deep relationships with people. He wants us to be relationship-oriented. That's why Christ came, so He could have a relationship with us, so we'd have fellowship with Him, and He wants us to have fellowship with one another. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. And put your finger in Proverbs chapter 30. And then let's just bow our heads for a moment and ask the Lord to use our time tonight. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, we thank You that You've called us into a rich, intimate, personal relationship with Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, so much that we're going to have that relationship forever. We thank You that You're committed to us no matter what, that You'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we ask You to teach us tonight from Your Word. We ask You to make us people who have rich relationships in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you go into a bookstore today, if you go into the library and you look up friendships or building friends, or you look up self-empowerment, self-actualization, there's an awful lot of books being written today, and if you take the courses on this campus, you can take them on this university. You'll find there's an awful lot of books written that basically restate Proverbs 30 and verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. Basically, our society today promotes get for yourself and protect yourself and do what's good for yourself. There's a girl named Edie Brickell in the New Bohemians, and she has a song out about, it's called A Circle of Friends. But the whole song, I think it's that song or the other one she just came out with, is just basically how I don't need my friends, get out of my life, I'll do my own thing. The hassles of people. If you read books on self-empowerment, self-actualization, how to manipulate people to get what you want. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat down with a couple to counsel them in their marriage. They've just been through a group health family therapy session, or they've just been through another therapist or to another psychologist, counselor, over really some of the simplest problems in marriage. And they have been told by the counselor, divorce your mate. Leave them. Get out of the relationship. That has become the classic solution in America today, is bail out. Bail out. Bail out. Bail out. Well, the reason we don't have healthy relationships, and the reason primarily Americans don't have healthy relationships, is for this reason. Healthy relationships take two things. They take character and wisdom. They take character and wisdom. And our society places value on neither. Very seldom will you ever find in the classroom anyone espousing the value of character. The only time you'll usually hear about it is from a guy like Lou Holtz. And if you happen to be on the Notre Dame football team and you're in the locker room, and he's talking about the need for character in order to win a football game. Did they talk about it in ethics and law? Did they talk about it in business ethics? No. Did they talk about how to have a successful family developmental life? No. Did they talk about it in your psychiatry class? No. Or sociology or psychology? No. You won't find it. Because our society doesn't emphasize that. It's kind of like what we see going on today in the political arena. People are beginning to wonder, well, does a person's private life really affect their judgment in office? Well, God says it does. God says you know more in public than what you are in private. So when you have situations happening like we have right now in the political scene, and we see people's lives that are privately a mess, there's no way. But see, everyone says, well, but look at their work. No, you see, because character permeates your whole life. And if you don't have integrity in your private life, you do not have integrity in your public life. That's a farce. That's a lie. But our society has adopted a paradox to live in. We have become convinced that you can be a moral pervert privately, but an upright, outstanding civil service at the same time. Civil servant at the same time. That's absurd. You can't do it. That's like saying you can be a backstabbing friend. No, you can't. If you're going to be a friend, then you have to have integrity and character, or you're not a real friend. And I've watched, I remember when I used to work at a Cadillac dealership, I used to go in the office a lot to work on the computer to place the order to General Motors in Detroit, and there was two people in the office, two office mates, two gals. And I used to watch, well, I didn't watch, I'd listen. I was sitting with my back to them. The young gal had been married about a year and a half, and she would daily destroy her husband. She would just tear him to smithereens. He was a jerk. He was a lazy bum. All he ever thought about was fishing and his new fish finder, and that's all he ever did. And the other woman, who was about 50, had been divorced, would agree with her, oh, yeah, he's a bum. Oh, yeah, that's right. My husband was the same way. And they'd go on and on and on. Then her husband, once in a while, would stop by. She'd jump up, oh, hi, honey. How are you? They'd just have been in the middle of this conversation, see? And then a smile would come on, give him a hug. Oh, it's good to see you. What are you doing? Well, sure, Annie, whatever you think. Well, that's fine with me. The minute he walked, oh, that jerk, he's such a joker. It's so terrible. And I used to sit and laugh and cry at the same time. But what a crazy society we live in today. It's so foolish. We make excuses, don't we, for our lack of character. We make excuses. Well, listen, I've got to let it off. I've got to get it off my chest. I've got to tell somebody. It's kind of like voodoo, you know. Not that I really believe in voodoo, but it's sort of like words and slander and gossip. It's like taking a voodoo doll, a picture of the person, stick a needle in their eye, stick a needle in their eye, stick a needle in their face, stick a needle in their neck, and stick a needle in their cheek. And that's what we do with words to other people. But we say we're their friend. And then the next thing you know, we're bringing them down to somebody else. So, it is not possible to have poor character and be a good friend. Okay? It's not possible to have poor character and carry on a lasting relationship. I think I'm the only one married in this room, and I can say to you after 10 years of being married, you'll never make it 5 if you don't get some major character in your life. You will not make it. You will not. And you see, but many people... What I mean by making it, now there's two things I mean by making it. One, I mean you'll never keep a vibrant, growing marriage. And two, you probably won't stay together because divorce is a lot easier today than it was for our parents. You've got to understand most of our parents in this room are in their late 40s, early 50s, but a lot of the kids I know today, the parents are in their early 30s, and they've been raised with that mentality that if there's problems, just flee. So, but what most people do is they stay together. Or many people stay together, but they're very, very unhappy. You ask most wives, is your husband your dearest, most intimate friend? She'll laugh. Just try it at work sometime. Just try it. Just try for an experiment. Just say, Sally, how long have you and your husband been married? Another 5 years. Tell me, do you find him to be a sensitive, good listener, and a caring friend? Are you kidding? You serious? You got to be joking. It'll be a rarity. It'll be a rarity to find that. So it's very important that you learn to develop friendship. So the first thing I wanted to bring out is in this verse that one of the things I find people doing is this. I want to talk tonight a little bit on the negative side. All right. The number one thing that I find deteriorating friendships, ruining friendships, is this little phrase. One of the most destructive things to rich relationships are the expectations that we put on other people. Okay? Most of the time, we tend to be like leeches. Give, give. You look out for me. You take care of me. Why weren't you thinking of me? Only we don't say it that way. What we do is we put our foot down and stand up for our rights. See, we disguise our greed by calling them our rights. We disguise our greed by saying, you can't do that to me. I have rights too. We disguise our selfishness by telling someone else that, wait, you've crossed the boundary. I don't deserve that kind of treatment. And I've done a lot of counseling. And I talk to people all the time that are having friendship problems. And the number one thing I find is they've got expectations on their roommate. Well, my roommate's supposed to look out for me. Or my friend's supposed to be looking out. My friend didn't ever call me, encourage me. I've gotten long letters from people. They sent me this letter. It says, Well, I'm really discouraged with you, Mark. You know, you haven't called me. Or usually I don't get letters. Usually I just hear it back. Oh, yeah, so-and-so's really got an in for you, Mark. You didn't call them enough. I smile. You see, because I know they're placing expectations on a friendship, and it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. I know that I'm one person. I can only do what I can do. And there are going to be people who are going to always think they didn't get enough attention, they didn't get enough time, they've always got some petty, stinking, selfish, pathetic excuse. And that's going to destroy your relationships. Nobody's going to want to be your friend. I remember having a conversation one time with an individual who was sharing this with me to my face. We were talking about this. And lovingly I said to them, I said, you know, do you like yourself? And this person started to cry. You talk about hitting a raw nerve. I mean, it was raw. And they said, no, and I wouldn't want to be my friend either. I said, that's why you believe no one wants to be your friend. I mean, my goodness, you're always going around judging that nobody ever wants to be your friend. You already presume, you already pre-label that nobody wants to be your friend. But I mean, you wouldn't want to be your friend if you had the opportunity to be your friend. And you know why? Because you're not a good friend. That's why. That's why you don't have many friends. There's a verse I read today in Proverbs, and it says, a man's own foolishness ruins his chances, but his heart blames the Lord. But in his heart, he rages against God. How many times have you found yourself doing that? Something will happen, your own stupidity blew it for you, and you find somebody to blame. Was my roommate? Was God? God, what'd you do that to me for? You see, there's no way to have good friends unless you have humility. And humility is always willing to admit, Lord, I was at fault. Lord, that was my own foolishness. That was my own stupidity that got me into that situation. Oftentimes, I find that people expect that everyone's supposed to bend over backwards for us as if we were God or something. And we don't, instead of living in consideration with others, and this especially, I find this in household situations. Instead of really looking out for the other person's interests going out of your way, we're kind of sitting back wanting everybody to look out for us. And boy, if they don't, we kind of get heated under the collar a little bit. We kind of get, well, the joker. Boy, they don't really love God. But if they really love God, they'd be going out of their way for me. I'll tell you, judge not. The Bible says, judge not. You're never going to be a good friend if you're used to sitting in the judgment seat. And we so often, there's another verse in Proverbs that says, through presumption comes nothing but strife. And that's what happens, both internal and external strife. Because you're sitting presuming, well, they did this because they don't really care about me. They overlooked me. I got overlooked. I didn't get noticed. They meant that to really hurt me. They should have never said anything like that. And off we go to our room crying. Or we go off stomping out of the room, or we go off mad. You can't ever have rich relationships. And you'll never make it in marriage unless these things change. You'll never be able to maintain quality relationships with those that you really care about unless your character changes. Right? You understand that? Your character must change. And then you must gain wisdom. All right? I want to cover with you go to Proverbs 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30. This I'm going to read out of the Berkeley version. It's also in the Living Bible, if you happen to have one. Proverbs 11, verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The Berkeley version says, he who wins friends is wise. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins friends is wise. Friendship is earned. Friendship is earned. You win people to your friend, into your confidence. You see? You don't just expect them to be. When you move into a new living situation, when I came up here to be a pastor almost three years ago this December, I realized that everyone here at the time didn't know me. There's a few people who did. And I realized everything that I do has got to be earned and proven. Everything. I cannot expect people to just warm up to me and know me and be buddy-buddy to me when they don't even know me. It has to be earned. It has to be proved. And so that's what I've been trying to set out to do for the last almost 3 years, is prove it, earn it, do it, and win a hearing with people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we move into a new situation or move into relationships with expectations. I find this happens in marriage, and I find this happens in single relationships. We have these expectations that you will never hurt me. And if you really like me, you'd never say anything like that. And, if you really cared, you'd call me at least twice a week. You know, and it's amazing how people think this kind of stuff. They could write a book, but they never write it down, but it's right in their brain. But if you really cared, you of course you would have remembered my birthday. No one remembered my birthday other than my family. Did I sit home crying? God, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me in this whole church, and I quit. I mean, it'd be easy to do, wouldn't it? I mean, but I know you guys, boy, if one of your roommates has a party, boy, everybody throws a big party. And I got a card from my wife and my kids. That's life. You know, that's life. And you know, but it's easy. It'll be easy for me as it is for you to put expectations on people and think, well, gee whiz, you know, I mean, I'm the pastor. People will remember. They ought to remember. Well, they should have done something. Hey, it's like Paul says, I will gladly spend and be spent. And if I love you the more and I'm loved the less, what is that to me? You see, what is that to me? I mean, I know where my reward is. I know what's coming for me. And it doesn't matter. It's really insignificant. But I'll tell you, how many times have you thought in your life, think about little things like that, and they really hurt. They really, really hurt. Instead of overlooking what might have been a potential insult, instead of obeying Scripture, you camped on that thing. Man, you sat on that. Man, it just ate away at you and dug down deep. Or how many times maybe we've come home, we've been discouraged, and we sit down, and what we really want, now I've done this, is you just want that person to come over, sit down beside you, be able to mind read your mind, read your expression and go, oh, gee, it was a rough day, wasn't it? I don't want to talk. Oh, no, I know you really want to talk, but I won't force you. And just sit there and put their arm around you. Boy, I know, boy, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? And just, you know, put up with your pouting for a little while. How many times? And we want them to do it all. Oh, I've done that. With Kathy, you know, like, I don't want to tell you what's wrong. You're a woman and you're supposed to know these things. You know, you're supposed to understand a man and do just like the movies. You know, in the movies they never talk. The gal just knows everything. She just sits down beside it, puts her arm around. Hey, you guys, you know, you laugh, but I'll tell you what, you wait until you're engaged and you're married and you'll have the same thing happen to you. Because that's how television will have affected your mind. You'll think, well, geez, this is how it's supposed to be. I mean, women are supposed to know all that stuff. They're so intuitive, and they're supposed to be in tune to my psyche, man. And, you know, and they understand I'm just sitting there, and right now at this moment, I need a back rub. And right now at this moment, I need a kiss on the cheek. You know, you'd be amazed at how selfish, how self-centered we are. Now, of course, I know, guys, you don't expect your roommate to come up and kiss you on the cheek. So, we have other things, you know. Girls might expect a hug. I don't know if guys do, but, you know, there's other things, subtle things that we expect. And we do. We live our life with expectations on others. Basically, what I'm saying is we expect others to be our slave in one way or another. We expect them to meet a need, to cater to an area of need in our life. And when they don't, we become frustrated. We become discouraged, and sometimes we become very angry at the person. And then the other person's going, what did I do? Oh, well, you should know. I'm not going to tell you. You don't know. I mean, it was so obvious. And they're going, geez, what in the world did I do now? See? And because this person, instead of looking to God, instead of trusting the Lord, they trust in people. And it ruins relationships. So you see here that friendship is something that has to be earned. And a wise person realizes that you win friends, you don't command friendship, you win friendship. I want to give you 13. We won't have time to go over all of these tonight. But I just want to give you 13 ingredients that I believe are absolutely essential for rich relationships. These are not necessarily in the order of importance. In fact, I don't know if there's anyone more important than the other. They just all make up the recipe, and without them, the recipe is not complete. Patience, kindness, compassion and sensitivity, generosity, love. Am I going too fast? I thought you got, you know, didn't your professors go faster than this? Yes, they do. I know they do. And some of them you can't even understand. Okay, I'm going to slow down. Patience, that spell with a P. A-T-I-T. Kindness, compassion and sensitivity. Generosity. Love. Loyalty. Trust. I guess you could circle this next one. An effective mouth. Put a star by that. Initiative. Humility and openness. See, compassion and sensitivity are on the same line. And humility and openness are on the same line. Because they're kind of the same word to describe. Kind of a synonym word. Okay. A good listening ear. And honesty. And then in a whole other category is wisdom. Is wisdom. Oh, I'm sorry, I left one out. Did I put down after loyalty, trust? Did I say trust? Very good, you're listening. That's good. Did I put down money? Always helps, doesn't it? Proverbs says a rich man has many friends, but the poor man's friends leave him. Well, we can talk about that one another time. Okay, another time. Turn to Proverbs 11:25. It says, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will be refreshed. One key character ingredient that must be in your life, if you're going to have rich relationships, and if you're going to be successful in life, and if you're going to be an encouraged individual, that's generosity. Is generosity easy? You find it easy to be generous? You find it easy to give of your possessions or of your money or of your time? You know, I think people are, there's two things that people are most protective of. Their money and their time. Particularly their time. It's very difficult today for people to go out of their way for someone else. You know the number one thing kids wish they had from their parents? Time. Their time. That's the number one thing kids wish they had from their parents, and they don't get enough in America today. The average father in America spends 30 seconds a day with his children. That's not very much. Now by that we don't mean, you know, driving them home from school or something, you know. We mean spending some time with that particular child. And for many mothers it's no better. Except mothers usually the ones who give them a bath or something like that so they get a little more time. Which usually is, Johnny, sit down! Put the soap back! Leave your brother alone! And it's to bed by 8 or 8:30. So they have a little time before they both head off to work tomorrow. Some of you were raised that way. How many, just offhand, how many of you were raised and both parents worked the whole time you were a kid, most of the time? Raise your hand. Real high. The rest of your mom stayed home? That's also unusual. You understand that life is changing, don't you? You read the paper. It's changing. Well, anyway, rich relationships are going to come about if you're a generous person. And if you're not, you won't have rich friendships. Generosity is going to take time to develop. It takes practice to develop. It takes conviction to develop each one of these characters. Okay? What do I mean by it takes conviction? I want to help. What I want to do, what I want to accomplish with this series, is I want to show you what you need and how to get what you need. Okay? It doesn't do any good to tell you what you need if you don't understand how to change, how to get what you need. So the first thing you need is a generous spirit. All right? How do we get a generous spirit? The first thing you have to understand is that a person who's generous is going to be more blessed than a person who's not. Now, I can only prove that. I can't prove that to you on paper. I can only prove that to you if you'll do it. And then you'll find out for yourself. God says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. You really believe that? That's what you have to ask yourself. Do I really believe God? How many of you have read through the whole Bible one time? Raise your hand real high. How many have read in the last week a whole book of the Bible? Very good. How many read a whole book today? No, there. A chapter. How many read a whole chapter today? Look around the room and people raise their hand. Raise them real high. And why? See, a minority. Okay? How many have read a chapter in the last 2 days? Oh, a few more there. A few more. Okay. How many of you ate lunch today? Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. Come on, raise your hand. High. Real. This is high. How many of you ate breakfast? How many of you ate supper? Very good. Very good. See, a majority of us ate our food. But a majority of us neglected our spiritual food. Didn't we? A majority missed that most important meal for your life. Convictions are built on exposure to truth. If you do not expose yourself to truth often enough, you will not believe it. For example, let's just talk about lies for a minute. If I step on your toes here, just tell me later, okay? I don't mean to. I personally believe, my opinion, that evolution is a lie. But when you hear it in 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and then you become your freshman, sophomore, I mean, my goodness, it's logical, isn't it? Man just appeared. We just sort of evolved. This wonderful, incredible universe just happened. Makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? You see, when you hear something often enough, people believe it. George Goebbels, Hitler's propagandist in World War II, said, say something often enough, make it burn, and people will believe anything. You know what? That's the truth. That's the truth. What you hear often enough, you'll believe. Some people I've talked to grew up hearing every day that they were a dumb idiot, that they were a fool, they were an idiot. You're never nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. You know what? They grew up, they believe it. They're insecure. They don't amount to much. They don't attack life aggressively. They're very timid, fearful. Why? Because they were exposed to a lie enough that they believed it. Okay? Now, the only way you can change lifestyle patterns, the only way you can change your character is to expose yourself time and time and time and time and time and time again to this book. If you do not, you will not change. How can I say that? Because Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed, do not be just like the world around us, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Colossians commands us, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. How many of you shared a verse with a friend today? Raise your hand. How many of you memorized a verse in the last week? Raise your hand real high. Look around the room. Always look around the room. People raise their hand. Not to see who, just to see how many. Okay? You understand, friends, I'm just being honest with you. This book has got to permeate your mind. This book has, you've got to understand it, or you will never have convictions. I've had people come up to me and say, geez, Mark, I just wish I had the answers like you do. Or they'll say to me, they'll say, I just wish I could take you with me to my classes. Or I just wish you could talk to my friend today. And I say, listen, you don't have to have me. You got the book. You got the Holy Spirit. Put your nose in it. Well, it's easier to have you there. Yeah, I know that. But it doesn't really benefit you. What really benefits you is if you take this book and make it your number one priority. Okay? So, why do I believe generosity, a man will prosper? Because I've read it enough. I've read the stories, the truths in here, the examples of people who were generous and how God blessed them. And then I have tried it myself and found that, you know what? God tells the truth. He doesn't lie. He's not telling a lie. You know, the average Christian spends 10 minutes a day reading their Bible. The same Christian spends 3.5 hours per day watching television. Approximately 1 hour a day reading Time magazine and the newspaper. So you tell me, who's got the biggest influence on Christians today in America? Anyone have an answer? Speak up, Daniel. What? Society.